Who's there? Hi.
We have Parshat Devarim, right? New Sefer. And Moshe, of course, starts with this historical overview. Israel traveling through the wilderness, and he gets to the part, and this is source one. Venavor made. And we went past our brethren Esav that live in Seir, Arava, and they went south. That's here. I'm going to pull a map over here. That's why it's not better here. This is a view of this is the Jordan River. That's the Yamamelach. Okay, that's Moab, Ammon. This is Edom down here. So they're coming south of Edom. They go down to Eilat, and they're coming up the Arava.
And
Right?
Eilat is technically not part of like Eretz Yisrael, right?
Right. That's the southern tip of Edom. Right.
That's
In
why
the
part of the reason why Robinson Heller was like, we're not going to Eilat. It's not really
okay. I
Israel.
mean, halakhically, if it's part of the political entity that is Israel, then it's probably is
Right.
Eretz Israel. But it's only at the time that Eretz Israel went from basically Beersheba north to Tzur to Tyre,
Like much
to
further
Lebanon.
sh north, right?
Sure,
Yeah.
right, up into Lebanon. Okay, but they're coming around, they're coming basically around Edom into Negev. They go to Eilat, and it's Gera, which is next to Eilat, and the Derech Arava, and they're coming up the Arava. And they go around in the wilderness of Moab, which is also known now as the Syrian desert. Basically, all of this is desert. You have the Fertile Crescent goes from the Euphrates and Tigris in Iraq, Syria, then comes down the Jordan, then into the Nile. There are people live there. Nobody lives here in this middle part.
That's why it's called the Fertile Crescent.
It's because it's a crescent shape.
Crescent? Oh.
Half moon, there, that's Fertile Crescent. So basically, Bnei Israel coming from Eilat, they're going up and they're going around here because if you look on this side over here, they're going to go on the east side of Moab. Hashem tells Moshe, Al tetzer Moab, don't stress out Moab, Al tetgar b'mechama, don't provoke them to war. So attain me at Soyusha. Because you're not going to inherit that. That you get the capital of Moab is Ar. And if you can sort of see this little label Ar over here, the capital of Moab was their inheritance. You're not going to go there. You're going to go east of them. And then they go past Moab by Debar. And when they go through here, this is Nachal Arnon, but as the border between Moab and Ammon. Says Moab and Ar, you're passing by the border of Moab, the country of Ar, Karabta Mul Bnei Ammon, and you're gonna go past, you're gonna hit the border with Ammon, next nation up as they're going along that eastern side. Garbam, don't stress them out, don't provoke them. That's gonna belong to the name. And then they go around and it continues. Now Hashem tells Moshe and Bnei Israel, go cross the Arnon River. They're not so much crossing as they're going to go along it. They thread the needle between Moab and Ammon and they end up here in the kingdom of Sihon. Look, I have given into your hands Sihon, the king of Heshbon, Ha'mari. So in all of his land, Hechal Rosh, go conquer it. Vitgarbo milchama, and go provoke him into war. Because today I'm going to start demonstrate imposing the fear of you on the other nations. Tachak kolashmayim that are under the heavens. Sheish because they're going to hear the news. Ragzu and they will be terrified. They will quail before you. You will conquer the nation of Sihon. So Vashlach Malachim, Moshe says, so I sent messengers, Midbar Kedmot, from the eastern desert, right, from this big desert over here, because they're kind of in here, going from the desert, and send messengers to Sichon. Midbar Kedmot, El Sichon, Mel Cheshbon, Divrei Shalom Lemor, and I sent a peace offering to him and said, Ebra Bar Secha, let us go through your land. B'derech, B'derech Nelech, we'll stick it to the highways. Lo Aser Yumin Esmol, we won't turn left or right. They send a message to Sichon, offering to just travel through along here, and then they're going to go up the highway here and then go across into Canaan. They say Sichon Likvatenu, but Sichon comes out to greet them, and with all of his people ready to go to war, Yatsa to the city of Yatz, and he, God, gave them into our hands, Banav, Banav, et kol amo. And we conquered him and his children and his descendants and all of his nation. So Bnei Israel, they go around Moab, they go between Moab and Ammon along Nahal Arnon, and they enter Sichon, conquer Sichon, and from there they will enter Eretz Yisrael. That's Gilgal and Yericho over here. That's the story as presented. So the original story, so this is Moshe retelling the story about what happened. That's what the Devarim is all about. Original story is in Parshat Chukat. It says, "Vayisu me'avot." They traveled. They went from the city of Avot by Yachanu, but Ie Havarim, as Rashi says, the passes of the wasteland. That Rashi says, "I is lashon chorva, desolation." Devar ha'ta'ut b'mata, which Mitzuta translates as something like something swept clean with a broom. Okay, that they're in. They start out from. They're in the wilderness. There's just nothing there, on this eastern side. Rim in the passes of the wasteland, Bamidbar in the wilderness of Shel Pnei Moab, that's next to Moab, Mizrach HaShemesh on the eastern side. Okay, we all know the geography. Arnon, and from there they traveled to the Arnon River, Hashem Bar, he would say Mikbu Amari, that comes out of the border of the Emari, that's Sichon over here. Ki Arnon Gvul Moab, Ben Moab, Ben Hamari, because the Arnon is the border between Moab on the south and Emori Sichon on the north. Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim el Sichon Melech Hamor, and Israel sent messengers to Sichon. They said, Ebra Ber Asecha, let us pass through land. Lo Niteh B'Seir B'Cherem, we won't go through the fields, the vineyards. Lo Nishteh Me Be'er, we won't drink from the well. But we'll go. You go on the official highways. Till we go through your borders. So Sichon doesn't let them pass through his land. And Sichon gathers his people and they go to Israel in the wilderness. Yatzai comes to the city of Yatz and fights them. That's the story. And I mentioned that Yavarim. Because when Moshe says, Veshlach Malachim mi Bar Kemot, I sent messengers from the wilderness of the east. We saw what that was. Like Pshat, that's just coming from, they're coming from this side over here, and they want to go that way. They're going to go west. Rashi has a problem with that. Understanding what Midbar Kemot means, the wilderness of the east. So he starts with understanding the difference between the two stories. In Parshat Chukat, it says, Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim El Sichon. Israel sent messengers. In Moshe's retelling, it says, Vayishlach Malachim, I sent messengers. Now in Bamidbar, Chukat, Rashi says, well, that's just Pshat, it's the same thing. Right? Moshe is sending the same thing as Bnei Israel sending the message, right? Rashi says, "Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim." Israel sent them b'kom acher tolach shlichu b'Moshe. Right? I mean, in Devarim it said Moshe did the sending. Shenemar vayishlach Malachim barkim. Really, each of those inform each other. Zen no elv zepotech. This literally locks and this opens. One explains the other. Shemoshe hu Yisrael, Yisrael hu Moshe. In this case, Moshe is representative of Israel. And Moshe sends message, that's Israel sending message. Lamarcha lachash and nasi ador, hu kachol ador, that the nasi represents or the people, that entire generation. That's Pshat understanding why it says Veshlach versus Veshlach Israel. But here it right here in Devarim, Rashi looking at that Veshlach Malachim and Barkemot, that I sent messengers from the eastern wilderness. Rashi says midrashically that Moshe is emphasizing that it was his choice. Moshe is the one who sent them. And that's the message when he says Midbar Kemot, eastern wilderness, Barkemot. Moshe is saying, even though God didn't command me to do it, did not command me to seek peace with Sichon. To look back at the Pasuk, by the way, right, he says it, Hashem says, right, Ivrut Nachar Naona, right, that I've given Sichon at your hand, right, Hidgarbo Mechama, go provoke him into war. That's Hashem's commandment, go fight Sichon. Moshe says, no, I'm going to send him a peace offering first. Right. Hashem didn't command me to send, to offer peace to Sichon. But Lamanati Midbar Sinai, I learned that idea that you got to start with a peace offering from Midbar Sinai, Minat Torah Shekidma La'olam. So Midbar came out, not so much the eastern wilderness, but from the wilderness from the very beginning, from the Kedem, from the Torah. Now Israel, when Hashem wanted to give the Torah to Israel, Chazara Tali Sav Ishmael, he offered to all the other nations. Even though God knew that they wouldn't accept it, Bavakim Patach Lahem B'Shalom. So that was Hashem opening, offering peace to all the other nations. Avani Kidamti Et Sichon B'Divrei Shalom. So I figured obviously God would do that, so I'm going to do that as well. I'm not going to fight. I'm going to offer peace. Another way of looking at it, Midbar Kemot, again, Kedmot meaning the ancient one from time immemorial. This is what God wants. Which it says, I learned it from you, God, that you came before the world existed. At the same time, for you see at Mitzrayim, you could have sent one lightning bolt and wiped them out. But you sent me to go from the wilderness El Paro to tell him Shalach etami from my tone nicely. Moshe is saying that Hashem said attack, and I said, wait a minute. What you want is for me to offer peace first. In other words,
did he learn that from where did he learn that from? From the Paro thing?
So one interpretation from giving the Torah. And the other, I think, is more stronger, is from Paro.
Because the giving the Torah, that's a medrash, right? I mean,
right. This is all medrash.
Say it.
I mean, this is the medrash itself. The Torah doesn't say
it. Right.
The pasuk just says Veshlach Malachim Midbar Kemot.
But I mean, you have Moshe learning it from a medrash.
Yes. So that's the idea, is that Moshe is learning this midrashically, is the key statement here.
Yeah.
Okay. He's interpolating midrashically. Okay, the midrash, and then the actual midrashim that Rashi is based on it, even more radical. This is the Midbar Rabbah.
I'll answer that Rashi brings Pshat unless, like, he only brings Pshat unless it doesn't fully explain his problem with the pasuk is, and then he'll bring the midrash. And especially when
I would argue that Rashi is not looking for problems in text. Rashi has a pedagogical goal. Rashi has a point Rashi wants to make in the text, and we'll bring Peshat and we'll bring Midrashim that emphasize the point that he wants to make. Okay, but yes. And the other thing is that Rashi never quotes Midrashim.
Never what?
He just paraphrases
Rashi
them?
Never quotes Midrashim. Rashi mentions Midrashim, but it's never literally the words of the Midrash. He's going to say it the way he wants to say it. So it's always, if it's interesting, it's always worth going back to the Midrashim that he's clearly basing this on. We're going to look at some of those. So this is Bimidbar Rabbah. She'amar l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, Asei Milchama Im Sichon.
Where are we?
In Surah 6.
Oh.
When Hashem tells Moshe, go make war with Sichon. I feel im eno mevakesh laso. Even if he doesn't want to make war, imcha at tidgarbo milchama. Right? It says, you will provoke him to war. Your job is to go fight Sichon. She'amar, humus ivunacha. Go through the Arnon River. I've given Sichon into your hand. So, go inherit his land. You're going to make war. Moshe lo asake, and Moshe didn't do that. But what does he say? He sent messengers. I don't want to fight. Can I just walk through? What does Hashem say when Moshe doesn't listen to Hashem? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chayecha, I swear, Shani mevatel devarai umakayim devarecha. Never mind what I said, you're right. As it says, that he, and then the pasuk in Devarim later on, it's in Ki, that's in Shoftim. Yeah. It says that the general rule is Kiti Gravel Irli Hilachem Aleha Karata L'Shalom. Whenever you come to it, if you come to fight, you should always start by offering peace.
It's the same thing with Yaakov. He offered Esav presents before he went out with his with his massive family as an army.
Right, but this is striking because Hashem basically says, "Go make war," and then Hashem says, "Okay, Moshe, you're right. We're going to make a new halacha here that you should make peace first." That's the Rabbi Tanhuma is a similar. I'm a Rabbi Yelevi. There were three things that Moshe did. That it gives a list that Moshe did, and that Hashem eventually agreed with him afterwards. And not to go the whole list, but one of them, Achat b'yemei Sichon v'Og, one with this war of Sichon and Og. Amar l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, lechi l'chem imo. Hashem says, go fight. Zachor amat hamayim shelo, go conquer his water sources. Moshe lo asakeh, Moshe didn't do that. As it says, she'emar shlach malachim, I sent messages.
What's that word, Zachor?
Zachor leads to, literally to secure.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's, in Aramaic, the chaf and the gimel are interchangeable, so it's sagar. Close up. I don't think it's actually etymologically connected to secure. I assume that's a coincidence. There are no coincidences. Let's see if that's interesting. Let's see. He has an English translation there.
It says block. Block is access.
Since there's a block his axe, a core, okay, block his water sources. That's not his spell aqueduct, is it? Okay.
Well, so, like, list score, doesn't that mean I'm going to embarrass myself here, but doesn't that mean to close?
The gore with the gimel does.
Oh.
The Aramaic, it's this chaf and the gimel are interchanged, so it means to close up, right? Okay. Go attack them to take over their water sources, block their water sources. Moshe lo seke, Moshe didn't do that. Shem erosach malachim, amal kavosh baruchu. So Hashem says, chayecha, by your life, asita karoi. You did right. Sha'ani maskim eladetcha, I will agree with you. Afterwards, l'fich Moshe masir yisrael b'malahem, that's where the leil halach is. Yitik rab al ir, when you come to the city, karoi l'shul. Okay? And what this is really, Moshe is using for the human side of Torah Shabbat Peh, meaning, not so much, there's idea of Torah Shabbat as Mesorah. Hashem says, this is what the Torah means. You know, here are the words and here's what it means. But the idea of there, that you can use logic, hermeneutic rules, to derive what a Ratzon Hashem must be. Okay? Which we know that's what halacha is supposed to work. Famous example, the Tanur Shel Achnai.
Danny, do you know offhand what the other two things are
Okay,
that
because
Moshe.
Lucir, yeah, I mean, we quoted that before here. We'll quote some other ones. It's not just those three. When it says here the Midrash says here, "Pokena vota vota banim," and Moshe says, "Lo yimtu avota banim." Hashem says, "Children will suffer for the sins of their parents," and Moshe is saying that. No. What you really mean is that children should not suffer for the sins of their parents unless they keep their sins. Yeah, in them. That was one of them. And the Shnia Sheshavra to Luchot, right? Which we know that he broke the Luchot.
And God didn't tell him to do it.
God didn't tell him to do it, but afterwards said Yashar Kochacha. We'll quote that in a second. Okay. So if you're not Moshe, then you can't ask God what the right thing is to do. So you have to use the Torah, Midot Sheh, Torah Neshtu Bahem to figure out what we're supposed to do. And that's Tano Shechnai, when Amad Yerushua Raglava, Amar Lo B'Shamayim Hi. Right, that's time of Tanayim. Lo B'Shamayim Hi. We have to figure it out. And then the famously, Ashkei Rabbi Natan Eliyahu, after that incident where Rabbi, you know what I'm talking about, Rabbi Yeshua says, "We're not going to listen to a bat call. We're going to decide. We're going to vote."
Right.
And then Reb Netan found Eliyahu, a Navi, and Amarle, "My Avid Kush Baruchu Bahi Shaita." What does Hashem do at that moment? And Yeshua said, "We're not listening to God." Right?
You said that's Kuni Banai?
Kachayek, and he said, "I smiled, Bamar, Nitzkuni Banai, Nitzku Banai."
You always say that.
And says, "My children defeated me." Right? That's how Torah is supposed to work. I mean, there's this maybe ideal of what Hashem Kibyachol had in mind, but we're given the ability to just to figure that out. But it's striking to see it by Moshe, right? Moshe has the ability to, is talking to God directly. Why should Moshe say to Hashem, "No, this is the way it's got to be. We're going to figure this out"? I mean, we've talked about this before, that Moshe is the amanuensis of Hashem. You know what amanuensis means? That's the word of the day, is one who takes dictation, a stenographer. Okay? That as Moshe is writing Torah Shebiktav, he really doesn't have free will. He's literally, as I'm speaking, Bigronosha Moshe. This is Meshach Chachma talks about that. Actually, Moshe mitzad atzmo, amal, that Moshe reached the point, he worked at it, yigal kol kach, and he worked hard enough, ad shehela atzmo menadrega ha-gaboah, they reach this highest point of human potential, of human perfection, as high as possible. So he lost his free will. Acting as the Navi who brings the Torah, there's no Navi him in there. And we see that when Bnei Yisrael, B'mamad Har Sinai, Hukrachu Kamalachim. That at Har Sinai, Bnei Yisrael were at that point. That they didn't have a choice, right? They're in this experience of Mamon Har Sinai. They didn't really have a free will about accepting the Torah. They're like Malachim, Shemuchachim, Mitzad Sichlam, like angels who have no free will. They have to do the right thing. That's the Meshach Chacham's understanding of what it meant that Hashem held the mount over them like a barrel. As a metaphor, that they had no free will at that point. The experience.
And that's a higher level? That's a higher level?
Well, we talked about that it may be a high level of spiritual connection, but it is a loss of what it means to be human.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about that like a couple of parashiyot ago.
We did.
And then there's like the parallel accepting of the Torah by Purim with Yom Kippur, and that was completely with their seichel, completely of their own free will accepting the
right.
Torah fully.
So that Mamre Hasim was just so overwhelming that they had no choice. Okay, that's the Kipalem Hagi. That's what Meshach Chachma understands that. And then, but after that, Hashem tells Moshe, "Lechem or lehem, shuvu lehem lo lechem." Go tell Ben Israel they can go back to their tents, but you stay here with me. Zer she'etz lo bat la kol kol la guf, v'chom ratav, v'yisika, hazakatod, su'la, v'ira, at that point he had just, his physical nature was gone. He was just a pure intellect, you know, that close to God. V'edar b'chirato, he remained in that state of losing his free will. He was not really human at that point. Everyone else went back to their tents. They could make mistakes again, and they did. Moshe was left as the spokesperson, the amanuensis of Hashem. And he ends up at this high spiritual level. And that's why he no longer, he's basically separated from his wife. He had no connection to any human beings at that point. But that was Moshe as bringing the Torah. But here, Moshe is not. Moshe is actually acting as a human rabbi. He's figuring out, well, what would God do? I know that in Mitzrayim, he sent a messenger of peace first, so I should do the same thing. So there are a couple other places. Chazal saw Moshe as the stenographer of Torah Chabatav, but it's the beginning of what we call the Midot Torah Nidreshet Bahen. So this was one example. Here with three, actually at Amar Hasina, this is from Gemara and Shabbos. Shoshad Devarim Asa Moshe Midato. There were three things that Moshe did from his own thinking, zoned out. The schema Karsh Baruch Hu Imo. And Hashem said afterwards, Nitzchuni Banai, you're right. The three things were Hosif Yom Echad Midato. Moshe added an extra day at Mamar HaSinai.
Oh, he stayed up a day longer.
Well, this is in the days before. So from Rosh Chodesh until giving the Torah. It's according to Rabbi Yossi, they came on to Mamre Hasina on Sunday. On Wednesday, Hashem said, okay, we're going to spend 2 days, today and tomorrow, purifying, and then the third day, you'll get the Torah. That'll be Wednesday, Thursday, the Torah should be on Friday. But what Moshe says, no, we need more time. We're going to spend 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, getting ready, and Shabbos will give the Torah. Moshe added a day, but Moshe added an extra day to the Shlosha Yimei Hagbalah, the 3 days of preparation before Ma'an Torah.
And God agreed.
Uperish min Isha, right? This separating from his wife, as we said before, because he felt he was at this high level. But the Gemara here says that was his decision to do. V'shibirat luchot, as we quoted in the Midrash before. So the Gemara goes, how has he learned these things? Hosifa yom echad midata. He had an extra day. Ma darash. What drash did he make? Again, he's saying that he was sort of using the drashot to figure it out. Because Hashem said, hayom machar, today and tomorrow. You should be ready. He said, well, hayom kamachar. Well, the today has to be like the tomorrow, meaning mala machar leilo imo, that tomorrow's be 24 hours. Af hayom leilo imo. So when this period of purification starts, I need full 24 hours. I tell them now on Wednesday, it's already halfway through the day. Obviously, I need Hayom Machar has got to be two full days. Because last night already passed. The night of today, again, Wednesday, it's already gone. So obviously, God, what you must mean is 2 days besides today.
Two nights, 3 days in your book of Hotel.
Yeah, so two, right. So you 2 24 hour periods.
Really,
and then today, yeah, we're going against, you're checking in on Wednesday.
Right.
That's only two, right? It's two nights. So right. That's what God wants. I mean, Nalan, the Haskima Karch, Hiskima Karch, Baruch Hu Al Yado. And how do we know that Hashem agreed? Okay, fine. We'll give you extra day. And the fact is, the Shari Shechina Ad Safra de Shabbatah. Because, in fact, Mamre Harsinei, the whole revelation didn't happen until Shabbos morning. Hashem said, obviously, okay, fine. Pirish min Isha, separate from wife, my darsh, what drasha did he give? How did he figure that out, that this was the thing? That's a kalva chomer ba'atzma. Now, he thought about a kalva chomer. Again, with the midot here. Amar, my Yisrael, so dibra shechina ayman ela sha'achat, the kavel zman. That for Bnei Yisrael, who had this just momentary revelation, at a fixed time. Amar Torah hayu nechanim l'shlosha yamim al tikshu el isha. Right, no interpersonal relations for those 3 days. Or right, or on the third day, what God said, ani for me. For me, for where I'm talking to God all the time, I can't predict what time. There's no fixed time. So much more so, I can't have interpersonal relationships. And how do we know Hashem agreed to this? It said, because we quoted it before, Hashem tells Moshe, okay, tell Bnei Israel they should go back to their tents. See, Batrei, it says after that, Batapo imodimadi, you stay here with me. You're not going back to your tent. And this is Moshe deciding that he's at a level he can. Hashem agrees.
And she, you know, it doesn't sound all that like what we as Jewish, to that it's a bad thing to have sexual relations. You know, it's a negative thing here.
It is, I think it's not, it is positive, but it's part of being a human being, right? You can't do that while you're a Navi. That is certainly true.
Oh.
Which, if you're a Navi, that's a finite part of your life. And also, it's not just the sexual relations. I think it's also just the part of being human, right? Moshe is going to be on the mountain not eating or drinking either. But you're right.
I think about Yom Kippur.
But he goes
like
back.
The holiest day of the year, the most spiritual day of the year. You're kind of de-emphasizing all the physical capabilities of your body.
He goes back to eat and drink.
Yes.
And he doesn't go back.
He should have gone back. So whether he was right here or not is a separate question. Obviously, that was what Miriam was, the way we understand the story with Miriam saying,
right,
this was wrong of him to do that. And we've talked about what happens to his children as well, because he loses the connection with them. We've talked about this, but the main point I want to make is not so much whether he was right, but he was doing it. He was Darash Miat Midato. And we're going to come back to the Siachon and Og here. Was he right?
I mean, the idea is he leaves for good. He doesn't go back to
for his wife, yes. That is what he does here. And I'm
not
judging whether it was
like
the right decision or not.
We are on Yom Kippur on that one day, we are a certain way. But
we all agree that has a place,
right,
a limited place, but you have to go back to being human as well.
But we're none of us are Moshe Rabbeinu. So like none of us are living on that level every single day. Imagine he was living on the level that it was Yom Kippur every single day.
Well, he's eating and drinking every day. He's not
right,
eating,
but the spiritual reality.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not saying whether this was should he have, just like he was eating, drinking, should he have set aside time for his wife as well? One could argue that. We're not judging that.
Right.
I'm just pointing that he made this drasha, and Hashem was maskim al yado. Again, implying that Hashem wasn't plan A on Hashem's part, as it were. And same thing with, okay, I'm going to continue on here. Shibra Talo, the third example was breaking the Lukot. My darsh was drasha. So what did he think, you know, sort of halakhically reasoning this out, pilpuls. And he says, my Pesach shu echa mitarga mitzvot. My Pesach, just one of the mitzvot. Or my Torah kol ben nechal yochabo, that someone who is literally strange to the community, not part of the community, can't eat it, can't participate in Pesach, Torah kula. This is the whole Torah here. The Lukot of Yisrael, Mishumadim, and Bnei Yisrael are Mishumad, are acting as heretics. They've abandoned the Torah with the Egel Zahab, Alka Kama Vakama. Obviously, Bnei Yisrael can't participate in these Lukot. He's going to curse Baruch Yado. And where do we see that Hashem agreed with what he did? As it says, Asher Shibarta, which we read as Reish Lakish, Yashar Kochacha, Asher Shibarta.
Mm-hmm.
Asher in the sense of Ashrei. It's a good thing that you broke. Hashem agreed in that case. So here we have these examples here, and in our parsha, the same thing that Moshe says, sends Malachim, Divrei Shalom, and Hashem is Maskim al Yado. That's the nature of Sefer Devarim itself. unlike the rest of the Torah, Devarim is Moshe's words. It's Torah Shebal Peh of Moshe that Hashem afterwards says, you're going to write this down. And the Zohar says that. Mishneh Torah. It's called the Mishneh Torah. That thing that we call Mishneh Torah, Moshe Mipi Asmo Amran. Moshe said that from his own dot. And it was established. It was established as the word of God. And Beitalia Klal Ufrat, that within it, in general and in all the particulars, Torah Shebiktav Rishav Bal Peh. It's a combination of Torah Shebiktav and Bal Peh. It's a transition. The Zo Ikri Torah of Mishneh Torah. So it's called Torah is also called the Mishneh Torah, literally the repetition of the Torah in the sense of that is, again, this is transition between Torah Shebiktav and Torah Shebiktav. Yachol Chumash says that this since Deuteronomy began as the oral law conveyed by Moses, and then when God commanded to inscribe it in the words of the Torah, became part of the written law. And so that's what a lot of that is. So the Bava Trevi.
But is there a hint that this is how it would go on for generations, that the sages would add things?
Well, it wouldn't be part of the Torah Shebiktav, right? This part, the Torah Shebiktav is closed at the end of the Torah. But the Torah Shebaal Peh part will go on. And it'll be the same sort of thing. There's an aspect of Masorah. This is God, there's a tradition passed down, and the aspect of what in every generation we figure out that we don't have all the answers as part of the Masorah. Okay. We have to figure it out. We have rules for figuring it out. We have the tradition about how we think about it. And that's what the Lubavitch Rebbe said. And that this becomes a model for future generations. And this was the Lukitis Yichot for Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So I'm offering double points, two internet points for anyone to figure out the connection between Devarim and Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay,
I'm trying to think about Devarim it.
And Rosh Chodesh Shvat.
Rosh Chodesh Shabbat. What is happens in Shabbat?
Yeah, let's go Tuba back.
Shabbat. There's Tu B'Shvat in Shabbat, yeah. And Devarim, and there's in Devarim, is there Bukurim? No, that's a different parsha.
No. Let's go back. Let's look at Devarim.
Devarim happens in Rosh Chodesh
Shabbat.
So it started in Rosh Chodesh Shvat.
What's the 11th month?
Shvat, without counting.
I'll get Shvat.
In context, yeah. So Moshe starts saying the words of Devarim on Shvat, on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Says so in the text. Okay, that's the connection. So the Rosh Chodesh Shvat says on this. He's talking about Devarim. Dine, Nogei LaTorah Shebaal Peh. That in terms of what we call Torah Shebaal Peh, Matzino Davar V'Hofcho, V'Hipucho, that there are two different things that we use the term Torah Shebaal Peh about. Michad Gis, on one side, Hidgalutah. One is the revelation. God gives Torah Shebaal Peh to Moshe Rabbeinu Al Har Sinai. This is what the Torah means, this is what the laws are, etc. Huya de Bnei Israel.
I forgot who said this, but Gershon told me there's someone said that it's kind of like Torah Shebaal Sav is like the lecture notes, and Torah Shebaal Peh is like actually attending the lecture.
Yes, but that's the one part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And the other side is, I don't know, right? Goes up. Hiyal Yibidei Bnei Israel. Oh, sorry, let's go around. Because it's one side, Hidgalutah, the way we reveal Torah Shebaal Peh, Hiyal Yidei Bnei Yisrael, it's by Bnei Yisrael, what we do, Shei Megalim Inyanei Torah Ba'al Shebaal Peh, Ayidei Limudam, that they learn Torah Shebaal Peh, that Torah Shebaal Peh means what, you know, Gemara, Mishnah, all the huge libraries we have that are written by people. And this is according to the understanding of the person learning Torah. That's one thing we mean by Torah Shebaal Peh. On the other side, Kol tochen limotarahu legalot debar Hashem. The other side is the word of God. The Torah Shel Peh includes the words of people and the words of God. I mean, the words of people is trying to understand the what God wants. Lomar, halacha taluya lo b'hevnat adam, ela shezur ratzono yitbarach. Halacha depends not so much on what we understand, but what is God's will. Yimata shel Torah hi chachmato yitbarach. Torah is God's wisdom. Hashem karash baruch hu masar otel b'nei Yisrael, but Hashem gave it to b'nei Yisrael, shem yiglu otel yidei havanatam. They will reveal that wisdom that wasn't known before, according to their own understanding. And Phyllis was quite point out that the rabbis are the ones who says this is true of the rabbis.
The rabbis are the ones who say that. The rabbis are the ones who can say those things.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a going theme of these lectures on my
yes.
part.
So the separate question is, what is the nature of rabbinic authority? But certainly that rabbinic authority exists. Is part of the Masorah that the rabbis are the ones who are to figure out what Torah. So there's the Torah Shel Peh that's figured out, the Rambam kind of devised Torah Shel Peh into Lacha Moshe Mi-Sinai and the Midot that had Torah Shel Nidreshet Behem. Both of those together are Torah Shel Peh. Occasion to call the rim ship of Torah, Lamar, Lahem, Yestoba Torah Moshe. And everything that's in the Torah comes from the Torah God from Moshe. The Chenyan Ze, Shiachol Shem Torah, it's called Torah, Al Devar Chokma, Nitgale Ayede Data Vasakoshel Adam Nivra. That what a human being figures out still has to, is called Torah. So what I'm learning now is still called Torah. That fact is based by Torah Moshe, who Mishnah Torah, and that comes from Sefer Devarim. Shegam sham yeshnam shnei ksavot ha'ela, that in the Devarim has these two extremes, both Galut Hashem and Moshe's own Midato. She Devar Hashem, she Devar Hashem, Midato v'asakon shel Moshe. The words of God as enclosed, as expressed by the mind and understanding of Moshe. So since this is part of Torah Moshe, that Hashem says this is part of the Torah Shmitav, Yimshach Kan B'Cholot Torah Shmuel Peh. This continues on in what we call Torah Shmuel Peh. So that, the fact that we do that and try to figure out what God wants, that's inherent in what Mishnah Torah, what Sefer Devarim is all about. So that
Mishnah Torah here is another word for Devarim.
Sefer Devarim. Yeah, it's called that. Mishnah Torah. Right? Sefer Devarim is called Mishnah Torah. Literally there.
And Rambam gets that term.
Right, so the Rambam uses that for his Sefer as well.
Right.
So that the Chachmash and Nitgal Adei Da Tovas HaGodosh Shel Adam Nivra, right? Torah, wisdom that is revealed from human understanding, that is Torah. We learned that from Moshe Rabbeinu. And here specifically, the fact that he says, okay, God told me to make war. I'm going to figure out how that happens. And that has to include offering peace first, which is telling us that within the guidelines of Torah, Hashem gave human beings the opportunity to choose the sort of world that we live in. Hashem didn't tell me to make peace. Hashem is telling Moshe, you can choose. Do we make the Karat HaLel Shalom part of the halacha or not? And that's what Moshe chose. We have a choice between Hitgar Bo Milchama or Karat HaLel Shalom. And even today, we still have that awesome power. So we need to choose wisely.
The cool part, I mean, kind of a little bit going back to the part when Phyllis said, like, the rabbis are the one who said the rabbis can say these things, but that's what's cool about the Masorah is that you like in Pirkei Avos, it's like Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mi-Sinai, Masorah the Yeshua Zakenim to Nevi'im, right? There's a Masorah going all the way back to Moshe. Like you can even like right now we're learning. Let's say that was the Rabbi Sharabi had a teacher who he learned from, and that teacher had a teacher that he learned from, and it goes all the way back to Har Sinai.
And again, there's another dialectic there between the chain and the Masorah. That or that human part of it becomes a part of the Mesorah.
Right, because it's a transmission from human to human.
And then every generation has something to add to that as well. It's not just the transmission. There's a chiddush that's your job in this world to add to that chain, to add to that Mesorah.
Except Liara, we have the game of telephone where do we know it's the authentic, each time nothing was changed, getting an authentic version today?
Right, that's true. But there's also the part of there's so many, I mean, this obviously comes down to like, oh, you're going to bring some proofs or whatever, but there is a kind of supporting factor to say that there's so many Jews from all over the world in different places, let's say throughout the diaspora, and we all ended up with this same Torah, maybe different customs, but all the same Torah. It must have been transmitted pretty purely in order for that to happen. Not that that's a proof, it's just a
And part of the Emunah is that Hashem's happy with the way it's working out. That there is, I mean, that comes up in halakhic discussions that, you know, that B'nai Israel may not Nevi'im, but the B'nai Nevi'im, that Hashem sort of is still there and is okay with how things are going because that's the way it's going.
No, I like that line when he says, Chayecha, hey, yeah, you came up with a good idea.
I'm going to keep it. Yes. So Hashem, that's right. That's the same as Nischuni Banai.
Hashem Hiskim. Yeah.
Yado. So that we have that. And again, and we constantly have that balance between Mesorah and Chiddush.
So that phrase, Nitzchuni Banai, you use that? You say what? My kids
you already said that?
Outdid me? Or?
No, Abba, you used to say that all the time. Or like if we said something that was smart
yes.
or whatever.
Okay, I don't remember saying, but yes, I feel that way really? All the time. Now it's all. That's all.
I'm going to start using it. It's not too late for me to say that, right? I'll say it
depends.
To Michael.
Are you ever wrong?
Oh, my kids
and your
are
children right. Are right? Does that ever happen?
It's Huni Banai. I'm going to start using it.
Okay.
I could use it a lot. They know so much more than us.
Okay.
Thank you, Abba.
Have a good night. Have a good Shabbos.
That's funny that you remember it, Liara, and your father doesn't.
That is funny. I don't know. Happens. Maybe I just remembered when I was right because it was very not so often.
Yeah. Okay. Very nice.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And this is all from the